This is episode 1000. Well, asterisk, it depends how you want to count the bonus episodes or not. But if you were to listen to every episode in the feed today, this would be the 1000th one you'd get to. So congratulations to me, I guess. I don't know. Hey, did you see Rudy Giuliani was on The Masked Singer last week? Jimmy Kimmel said they finally got a Republican to wear a mask, and that's how it went. Yeah. Host Ken Jeong stormed off the set. He was not happy to see Rudy there. We talked about that a few months back. Jimmy Fallon said, you know, it actually takes talent not to hit any notes, Seth Meyers. It's just unbelievable. Somebody famous was on The Masked Singer. Trevor, yeah, Rudy Giuliani just got voted off The Masked Singer, which means he's about to spend the next 5 years claiming that he actually won The Masked Singer. I like what you did there, Trevor. Congratulations to Jon Stewart. He won the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. It was a big event Sunday night. Bruce Springsteen sang Come Together, the Beatles song, for some reason. Okay. A lot of celebrities there. Don't forget the Jon Stewart. If Jon Stewart were an NFL coach, we'd be talking about the coaching tree. So I don't know. What do you call it? The late night host tree? You know, the one with people like Stephen Colbert and John Oliver and Steve Carell in a different category on there? Yeah. Jon Stewart's friend Dave Chappelle said when Jon Stewart got The Daily Show, it had soul. Jimmy Kimmel said, before Jon Stewart, we had no idea you could make a TV show where you play clips of another TV show and then say, boy, that other TV show sucks. He took on Fox News every night and he exposed their hypocrisy, their cynicism, and their lies. Thanks to his heroic work, they were never heard from again. Chappelle turned to Jon Stewart and said, it's a miracle to watch you work. You are a cure to what ails our culture. Sam B said he inspired a generation of imitators. Basim Youssef is an Egyptian comedian who was run out of the country after his own show took on the government, sometimes referred to as the Egyptian Jon Stewart. He said, you're the origin story for every one of us. Jimmy Kimmel said he met Stewart in 1995 when Jon would wear a leather jacket. He looked more like a Jewish Fonzie or Sylvester Shalom. That's funny. Kimmel made a joke about one of the previous recipients of the Mark Twain Award, Dr. William H. Cosby. Kimmel said to Jon Stewart, they didn't make you a new trophy. We're just giving you Bill Cosby's old one. Jon Stewart said there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen in comedy. You know, the slap. And will comedy survive in this new moment? He looked at the bronze bust of Mark Twain and said, this man's decapitated visage is a reminder that what we have is fragile and precious. Pete Davidson brought his girlfriend Kim Kardashian. Olivia Munn brought her boyfriend John Mulaney. Olivia Munn, she was a correspondent on The Daily Show. Did you forget that? I had. Jon Stewart actually made it cool to be informed and have an opinion on the news. Munn joked that Jon left The Daily Show to pursue his dream of dressing like a maintenance worker for the rest of his life. Years before anyone had heard of COVID, Jon wore nothing but stained sweatpants and avoided human contact. Pete Davidson said, the most controversial thing he's done is be friends with me. Friendship isn't something he half does, like acting, or gives up on, like directing. Steve Carell said, a humorist is a comedian who's been dead for over 100 years. We're making an exception for Jon. Jon strives to make sense of the insane and find joy in the darkness. The Atlantic took this moment to write an article with the eye-catching headline, What Happened to Jon Stewart? Now, I've shared this on the subreddit, which is Daily Comedy News, and on the Facebook group page, which is Daily Comedy News, a Facebook group. Excerpting from The Atlantic, the grand return that Jon Stewart finally launched last fall, streaming on Apple TV, is hosted by a guy who took a six-year break from TV, and boy, does it show. According to industry measurement firm Samba TV, the fifth episode of The Problem with Jon Stewart has been streamed, wait till you hear this number, you ready? Just 40,000 times. Now think about that. Now if I said to you, Jon Stewart is only 40 times as popular as this dumb podcast, wouldn't you be like, no effing way? Well, yeah, that's not a lot. I'm sure if you put Daily Comedy News on Apple TV, I could get, I don't know, 2,000 people to listen? 40,000 times, down 78% from the pilot. By comparison, HBO's episode of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver from that same week drew more than 800,000 viewers. But then again, if I told you John Oliver is only 800 times more popular than me, I'd be like, what? That's impossible. Stewart's specific genius on The Daily Show, writes The Atlantic, was layering facts and complexity into jokes and stitching punchlines together into George Carlin-esque political riffs. When Stewart was at the peak of his powers, no one could pack more ideas into 22 minutes of comedy, but something has turned. Now he's the one who seems overwhelmed by complexity and prone to oversimplification. He's the one that gets called out for fumbling facts, for missing the point, for being out of touch. The problem with Jon Stewart is Jon Stewart himself. As for the Mark Twain Prize, The Atlantic says, it also means that your best work is behind you and soon you'll need spectacles to see it. No one has ever followed up a Twain Prize with their masterpiece and Jon Stewart will not be the first. Let me look that up. Mark Twain, I'm Googling, Mark Twain Prize for Comedy. First awarded in 1998. To Richard Pryor, well, definitely not. Jonathan Winters, definitely not. Carl Reiner, 2000, definitely not. Whoopi Goldberg, 2001. Newhart, no, 2. Lily Tomlin. Lorne Michaels, would you say Lorne Michaels' best work has come before or after 2004? Probably before. Steve Martin, Neil Simon, Billy Crystal, George Carlin, Bill Cosby. Tina Fey, 2010. Her best work is before then. Will Ferrell in 2011. His best work is before then. Ellen, Carol Burnett, Jay Leno in 14. Eddie Murphy, Bill Murray, David Letterman, 2017. Julia Louis-Dreyfus in 18. Chappelle, and now Jon Stewart. The Atlantic may be onto something. No one has ever followed up a Twain Prize with their masterpiece, and Jon Stewart will not be the first. On this count, Twain Prize winners are no Mark Twain. Stewart spent the first 3 decades of his career expecting failure, assuming that tomorrow would be the day it all come crashing down, and instead, he somehow managed to go out on top on his own terms. No wonder he seemed lost ever since. This is harsh, but maybe not inaccurate. Once Trump arrived, Jon Stewart all but vanished. He signed a 4-year production deal with HBO that ended in 2020 and produced literally nothing. 4 years, nothing. There was an animated short series that never happened. A new stand-up special was announced, then never spoken of again. He tried making another movie. That's the one that stars Steve Carell in a small-town mayor's race. The Atlantic writes, but the finished product feels like the work of someone who realized it was hopeless in the editing room and maybe even while he was shooting it. Stewart was entering the lifetime achievement phase of his career, in other words, and maybe we shouldn't roll our eyes so easily at only being the voice of one generation. It's easy to forget now, but there was an inflection point when Comedy Central could have easily been the palace of Craig Kilborn and Tosh.0. Stewart dragged The Daily Show against its will, according to the oral history, in the opposite direction, and he wound up giving Comedy Central its core identity, not to mention a rack of Emmys, including a remarkable 10 straight for Outstanding Variety Series. Without Stewart's Daily Show, there's no Colbert Report, no Last Week Tonight, no Daily Show with Trevor Noah, but maybe no Tucker Carlson Tonight either. Stewart could have pulled a Jay Leno and hung on to the Daily Show forever. Instead, he had the uncommon grace to see the end coming and to get out before he overstayed his welcome. Again, I share this on the subreddit Daily Comedy News and on the Facebook group Daily Comedy News Podcast Group. The Atlantic wrapped with, if The Daily Show is a parody of a nightly news show, though, the problem with Jon Stewart's show often feels like a defanged Real Time with Bill Maher. Ouch. So, by the way, I was doing prep for upcoming weeks. We've got the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival in LA later this week. So there's going to be plenty to talk about. Like, the next 2 weeks should be really strong. And did I mention it's episode 1000? Kind of cool. Chris Rock. He performed in Baltimore on Friday night. He talked about the slap a little bit. A reporter for WJZ was at the show and tweeted that Chris Rock said, I'm all right. Healed from the nicks and bruises for the most part. Apparently, at some point in the show, he also critiqued the notion that words hurt, stating that words only hurt if you've never been punched in the face. Some people on Twitter said he started to do some audience work. He started talking to a lady in the front row. He said, what's your name? She said, Jada. Rock said, sit your ass down. Chris Rock's mom talked to the NBC affiliate in Columbia, South Carolina. Rosalie Rose Rock said, when Will Smith slapped Chris, he slapped all of us. He really slapped me. She felt bad for Questlove. No one even heard his speech. No one was able to be in the moment because everybody was just sitting there like, what just happened? I was still feeling that way like an hour later when it was like, oh, yeah, De Niro and Pacino are on stage together. What happened? I'm just obsessively scrolling Twitter to figure out what happened. All right. From the LA Times, Gabriel Iglesias vividly remembers his last visit to Dodger Stadium. It was the 2018 World Series. Gabe says he doesn't remember if there were any home runs, amazing plays, or even who won. This from the LA Times, but he does remember what he ate. They had these nachos that they served in a helmet. Of all the things going on, I was really excited about the nachos in the helmet. Well, Gabe is returning to Dodger Stadium May 6th and 7th. He's doing his comedy show there. Gabe said it's still not real. This was a huge gamble. It's the biggest place I've ever performed. I'm usually very comfortable on stage, but I know this will have a different element to it. This will give me chills, but I'm not really scared of the performance. I've been doing this a long time. 5 years ago, I played Staples Center. I thought at the time, where do I go from here? Dodger Stadium is a great way to celebrate 25 years in comedy. A good, solid number. Robbie Praw is with the Netflix Festival and the guy putting this all together. He said, "We really were looking to make the festival a huge LA civic event and thought, wouldn't it be great to do something at Dodger Stadium? There's a very small list of comedians that could pull that off since it's never been done before. The first person we called was Gabe. He has roots in the community and we think of this as a real homecoming. There's something innate about his energy and the energy he brings out in his crowds that makes it a perfect fit for this historical moment in comedy." Ross said, "I've been working in this business for about 18 years. I've thrown a lot of shows. I once worked with Gabe at the Sydney Opera House. To this day, it was the loudest I've ever heard a crowd be for a comedy show. To pull off a show at Dodger Stadium, you need to be an artist that can marshal that kind of energy and excitement." Gabe talked about his connections to the fans. He said, "I let the audience know, yeah, this is working, but I'm not above you. I realize that this can go away with one bad tweet, one bad comment, or if you slap someone's face." People appreciate it when you take the time to tell them that you appreciate them for being there. It doesn't take a lot to acknowledge that you're grateful. Comedy's become a double-edged sword. It's bigger than it's ever been, but at the same time, you're limited by what you can say. Go back and look at those comedians and the TV specials in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. There was nothing that could not be said on stage. There was no social media, no internet. Now you can blast everything to an entire planet. I know without that, my career wouldn't be where it's at. I made the decision early on that I would do a show that you can bring your family to. People can bring their children, their grandparents, no ruffling of feathers. Have an opinion, but keep it light, keep it friendly, keep it fluffy. He says he does do callbacks to previous specials. "My running joke is if you've never seen my shows before, go back and watch my specials because they're all connected. It's like the ghetto version of the Avengers. It's a continuation of what's going on with my family, my friends, some stuff about COVID, the pros and cons, more cons than pros." How do you top Dodger Stadium? Gabe said, "Well, the word retirement actually came up at one point. If this special is the greatest thing ever, maybe we'll do another one. Maybe a tour of football stadiums. Who knows? Maybe Elon Musk will call and say, you want to go to space and tell some jokes?" Congratulations to Reese Nicholson for taking home the top honor at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. Most outstanding show for Reese. Reese Nicholson said, "Everyone deserves an award this year. Not this one. This one is mine." Chortle's review said, "At just 30, the stage version of Nicholson appears to have complete understanding of who he is. The persona is as distinctive and sharp as his slick tailoring and manicured copper hair, and is the wellspring from which his fast-flowing stream of gags and opinions emerges." There is a new podcast today that is dissecting Bo Burnham's special Inside. It is called Dissect. In 7 episodes, the host will analyze what Bo Burnham left on screen and try to answer how Bo Burnham pulled it off, and also dissect, no pun intended, oh, I think there's a pun there, don't worry, just how Bo Burnham was able to capture what we were all going through during the pandemic. Okay, and let's stop at Gossip Corner for just 5 seconds. Yeah, we know Olivia was out with Mulaney and Kim was there with Pete, but over the weekend, Kim Kardashian shared some photos. She was wearing some pants, seemed a little big on her. The internet is wondering, are those Pete's sweatpants? To which I say, and if they are, so? David Spade, Nothing Personal, debuts on Netflix tonight. And that's episode 1000, huh? Come back tomorrow for episode 1001. Unless a comedian dies, then later today will be episode 1001. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I almost said Netflix. I'm not on Netflix. I'm definitely not on Apple TV Plus. But if I were, I might be able to catch up with Jon Stewart. No, probably not. Seriously, thank you all for listening every day. All right, let me do the wrap. Follow the show for free on Apple, Spotify, Overcast, where you get your shows. See you tomorrow.